In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of the blessed month of Amshir, and the gospel of this blessed Sunday is from St. John. And the talk between the Lord Jesus and the people happened immediately after he met filled the multitude. Many people followed him. Of course, they were excited because he gave them this blessing and he showed his power and glory among the people. So the Lord told the people that you are following me, but not for the good reason. You are following me because you ate from the food and you are filled. And then he told them this famous verse, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. So the message of the Lord for the people and for us is, why are we following him? What we are after when we come and talk and attend the liturgy or we pray. So this is what we are going to talk about today. The Lord Jesus being the ultimate goal. He is this food that endures to an everlasting life. So we'll talk about the Lord Jesus being ultimate goal, or just a mean to other benefits. Accepting the loss, the spiritual practices that we all do. For what reason? The skill of service and dealing with suffering. So the first point is the question that we should ask ourselves all the time. Is the Lord Jesus is the ultimate goal, or he is just a mean to other benefits? I use him. It is not him. It's not his character. It is not following him sincerely, but for what he can give, the blessings that he can give to those people who are after him. And again, as I said, this kind of confronting words, you seek me not because you saw the sign, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. If the Lord Jesus is not the ultimate goal of the relationship, I will never be able to taste him. I will never be truly in a relationship with him. It's exactly like knowing a certain person because this person has connection, or this person can give me some kind of privilege. It is not about him at all. I do not know him. I don't care much. I just care about what can I benefit from him. If the Lord is just a mean to something else, this relationship will eventually collapse. If it's not today, it's going to be tomorrow. If not tomorrow, it's going to be after tomorrow. It will happen. It's not a sincere relationship and will eventually come to an end. Look here at the story of the prodigal son, the lost son. The older son was living in the house with his dad. It looks like he has a relationship. He cares and he wants to serve. But look here, when this kind of relationship was tested by the return of the lost son, we find this older brother is saying to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you, I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. It is not you truly that I serve, or I enjoy being in his presence. It is this kind of like gift that I'm expecting from you, so I can make merry with my friends. So this question is for every one of us every single day. Why do I know him? Is it because I was just born a Christian and I am following my parents? I'm just going with the herd? Is it because there is something I am expecting from him to give me, and this is what is motivating me to follow him? Or because that he is truly my ultimate goal? The second point here is one of the tests that tell me how is the nature of the relationship with him. Is the idea about accepting the loss while I am following him. Even though we know that the Lord Christ never promised us that if you come after me, everything will be very well. You will be healthy and wealthy and everything will be fine with you. We know that he never promised, but sometimes we still expect that. If we follow him, we will never incur any kind of losses. And we find it strange that a follower of Christ would endure some kind of loss. But this is the mark of a sincere and genuine relationship, that I willfully, and maybe sometimes even gladly, that I accept loss for the sake of gaining him. Look here at what St. Peter said. See, we have left all and followed you, even to the point of giving their lives for his sake and become martyrs for Christ. Look here at St. Paul. Before knowing Christ, he was a Pharisee. He enjoyed some kind of dignity. People regarded him. He has authority even to take Christians and persecute and even deliver them to die. And then after he became a Christian, he lost everything, even the safety of his life. He was just running from people who wants to kill him. Yet he says about this, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. This idea about do I accept the loss? Sometimes we find it so difficult even to accept the loss of fasting. That when the great fast is coming, it's so hard for me. How can I accept the loss of eating something that I favor? And then we go into I like and I do not like. I want to follow Christ with my own rules. I want to follow him while I still keep whatever I feel like it is good, it is fine, I'm enjoying it, and I want to combine both in the same place. There are many examples. Actually, this is something that's very consistent with everyone who came to know God. You find Abraham giving us the ultimate example of accepting God's command to offer even his own son. How hard was this? But this did not compromise his love for God and his obedience for him. Moses accepting to be with the people of Israel, wandering in the wilderness rather than being the son to Pharaoh and eventually maybe one day become the ruler of Egypt. Zacchaeus, in the day when he met Christ, he gave up all of his positions in order to gain this relationship. It is you that I care about the most. And because of this, I don't mind giving back all of the money, and even the rest, I will give half to the poor. So we make this kind of decision every day, that should I accept loss for his sake, or I just want to keep benefits, even if I'm going to displease him. There is a story, it's an interesting one, about a king who wanted to find an heir for himself. So he said, I will make a competition for all of the kids, 15 years in age in his kingdom, to come and maybe choose from among them. So for all of these kids, when they came, so he gave them seeds. And he said to each one of them, if you plant this seed and you bring the best flowers, then you will be selected as the heir of this kingdom. So every kid got this kind of seeds, went back home and started planting the seeds and doing whatever they can in order for this kind of flowers to look the best. So after a few weeks, one of the kids told his mom, I do not know what's going on with me, but there is nothing coming out from the seeds. I have been watering it and doing my best, but there is nothing coming out. I don't see any kind of flowers blossoming. I don't know if I should go back to the king. I failed. So she told him, it is what it is. Just go back, because you took the seeds from the king. You have to go and report back to him. So on the day when everybody should come back to the king was looking at the kids. Everyone is coming with an amazing kind of pots that having the flowers, except this one kid who came with nothing. So he looked at them and he showed admiration to their effort. And then he asked them, why you don't have any flowers in your pot? He said, I tried. I kept watering it every day. I did my very best, but nothing came out from him. To the surprise of everyone, the king said, you are the heir of the kingdom. And everybody looked at him, why? How? So the king said, I give you all dead seeds. They shouldn't bring any kind of flowers. All of you faking this kind of flowers. You did something on your own, not with my seeds. The only honest person who came back and said, it didn't work, was this child. And this, because of this, I will choose him to become an heir. So this child, he chose to be honest and accepted the loss of something very, of course, tempting to be an heir for kingdom, just to please his master, his true master, his God. And this is again, do I accept this? I want to keep the friendship of Christ, even if this will make me to lose other things, maybe the friendship here or there, because I cannot get along or do whatever people are asking me to do. The question is for every one of us every day. Do I accept the loss to keep the relationship, or this is something maybe it's too difficult for me to comprehend? The third point is the spiritual practices. The question is, when do I pray? Do I pray every day because a relationship would entail that I connect with my friend? Or I only pray whenever I am facing a situation, I have a request? I remember in Egypt, we used to have a liturgy before the exam, the big exam, الثانوية العامة, the last year in high school. And the priest would say, everyone can come and bring his ID to put on the altar. This was the most crowded liturgy of the year. Everybody is there, even those kids who never showed up during the year, they come on this particular day to put their IDs on the altar, because the Abuna is going to pray for them. But here, this is something that's revealing. I am here today not because of him. I'm here because I'm expecting a blessing. And that's why I'm praying. When do I pray? What my prayers are revolving around? Is it always about the same thing? I want? Or is there any kind of praise for him? Offering thanksgiving. Just standing before him and say, you know, I'm very thankful. I'm indebted to you. That's it. That's enough for me to pray and to say, this is what I want to say. Also in my practices, do I expect a reward? Meaning, when I give tithes, do I still count and see, okay, I'm expecting God is going to pay me hundredfold? Or I feel like whatever I'm doing out of love. I'm doing this out of being indebted to him. When I fast, and when I come to the church, when I serve, do I do this for his sake, his name, glory, or I do it for other reason? It's another test for, am I working for perishable food or for him, the real food for everlasting life? Another scale also to measure my motives from following him is the scale of the service. Definitely, it should be that I'm serving God to glorify his name for the sake of the salvation of myself and salvation of people around me. St. John's made it very clear for us. He must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase in my heart, in my mind, in my life, in how I regard him, not only in the church, but even outside. This, if a right person serving for the right purpose, this is what he's going to say. He must increase, but I must decrease. How do I apply this while dealing with others? Do I let other people succeed? Do I give them maybe a place in front of me? This is what is the essence of the service is, to favor other people above your own interest. There are multiple perishable food from the service. One of them is the ego, that this makes me feel good about myself. Make people to regard me and respect me in a way that I'm missing maybe outside the church. The social recognition, to be called a servant. This person is a priest or whatever the rank he might be occupying. The sense of self-righteousness, like the Pharisee when he stood and prayed, I thank you God for being this and this and this and giving that and that and that. He is serving not because of him, the master who called him, but for other perishable food. There is marks that says that I am serving for perishable food. I am serving God, but not for the good reason. What are these marks? The first one is sense of competition. Competition. I take something, if I win, you lose. And if you win, I lose. This is not service in any way. Sadly, sometimes that happens. No love to others. Don't care at any in any way about other people. It is at the end of the day about me and what I do. Fighting for what I want. Quarreling for with people about what I think is right, and then we lose each other. All of these are marks that tells that I am serving him not for the right reason. The good reason, or the right reason, the right motive for serving is Christ, his glory, and the salvation of his people. This is the ultimate goal, or should be. The marks of humility, endurance, cooperation, forgiveness, putting each other ahead of personal gains, all of this are saying, I am serving for the right motive. And this is shown in my life and in my relationships in the church. The last point is the point of dealing with suffering. It's another test for the sincerity of the relationship between me and God. If I labor for perishable food just for comfort that he is going to give me and grant me this, then suffering will expose my motive for sure. It will show that I am not really following him, for his name's sake. When we deal with pain, following Christ will eventually stop if we are after his benefits and himself. This is what's going to bring the relationship to an end if the relationship is not for him. Pain, suffering. This is what makes many people to go away. I cannot accept this. Even some people, they deny the existence of God because of pain and suffering. But when he is the ultimate goal, then we can repeat what St. Paul said to the Corinthians. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We understand pain in the right way. And then participating with his suffering becomes a goal, a desire. That St. Paul said also the same, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, the fellowship of his suffering. The great fast will come again in 2-3 weeks. This is the fellowship of his suffering, something that's very basic. Christ was fasting for us, as we say in the melody, over and over. He is fasting for us. We should be fasting with him, at least taking part in this, taking part in his suffering. Imagine somebody says, you know what, I will take this on your behalf. I will go to die on your behalf. And I'll tell him, thank you very much, because I have something to do at home. Just good luck. At least we follow. At least we walk with him. This is the least we can do. Excusing ourselves from what we ought have done. The suffering and the fasting, all of this is something we ought to do. When he did it for us, at least we participate and take part in the fellowship of his suffering. Because he is the ultimate goal, his will is always asked for. We pray for it. Your will be done. Because we want to gain you. Whatever at the end of the day you accept, you see it as fitting for us, please let us accept this. And let us have the wisdom so we can walk with you, while even sometimes we have many questions that's not answered. This is the relationship of faith and submission when we are going through difficulties and hard time. There is a story that happened back in the 20th century, actually around the year 1948 in Egypt. And this story is for a medical student. His brother became later a priest in Canada. So the brother was saying this story about his late brother. He said, in his final year in the medical school, for the first time ever, that he failed the test. It was too difficult for him, never happened before. And then his older brother told him, maybe this is something that's good. But he didn't accept this kind of answer. How failing is good? How can I accept this? This is the first time I fail ever. He had to repeat the whole year, lost a year, and he graduated later. What happened in this year, 1948, there was a war that had took place in Egypt by then. All of his colleagues who graduated on time, they were recruited in the army. Most of them either died or got injured severely. And because him, he graduated a year later, he was spared this kind of difficult end. He understood that even something like this, suffering for no apparent reason, failing a test, even while he did his very best, was also allowed for something that is good for him. All of the examples in the Bible will tell us, when we submit, when we accept His will, everything at the end will be working for good for those who love Him. But again, it's all about either Him or what He can give. This student could have ended the relationship. I failed, I follow God, He did not benefit me, I will walk in my own way away from Him. So the Lord Christ, when He confronted the people, His words are everlasting, will stay forever. And He is saying the same for us today. Why are you following me? Why are you here today? I hope we are all here today because we are after the food that endures for everlasting life. Him. It is the relationship. It is the friendship. It is the person of Christ. This is what we are after. This is the ultimate goal. This is what we want to gain. In everything we do, in everything we say, in every decision we make, this kind of goal is before, should be always before our eyes. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.